listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
It's difficult to have an independent of our culture confrontation with Scripture.
So what we get more and more in the modern university is the substitution of activism for scholarship.
It is perfectly orthodox, not only proper but necessary, to speak of Mary as the Virgin Mother of God or the Mother of our Lord.
Because the only reason anybody would stop what you're doing, get down on your hands and knees while you're wearing vestments, and clean up a spill of the chalice is because you believed that this was the blood of Christ.
Moms in Ohio love issues, etc.
Mom!
It's always interesting to listen in on those oral argument sessions that the Supreme Court has, listening to these justices that have themselves made legal history by merely sitting in those seats, asking questions of lawyers who, well, that's a career's achievement to stand there in that particular hall of justice. But when we were listening to the oral argument with Dobbs recently, we heard not just questions from one of the justices, but in the case of Sonia Sotomayor, we heard arguments being made. Now, she's free to do that, but she was definitely coming down on the side of keeping Roe. What kind of arguments did she make about abortion, religion, and the integrity of the U.S. Supreme Court? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Thursday afternoon, the 16th of December. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Adam Carrington of Hillsdale College will join us to talk about U.S. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor on abortion and religion. We'll conclude our series on the Book of Proverbs with Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about Proverbs 31, that Proverbs 31 woman. Then Dr. Andrew Steinman joins us. We will be remembering Daniel the prophet and the three young men. The church remembers them on the 17th of December. Joining us to discuss U.S. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor on abortion and religion, Dr. Adam Carrington, Associate Professor of Politics at Hillsdale College, author of a column for National Review Online titled "Justice Sotomayor is Wrong About Abortion and Religion." Dr. Carrington, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
What arguments did we recently hear from Justice Sotomayor in the oral argument on Dobbs v. Jackson's women's health?
Yes, we saw really a lot of arguments from her. She was the most dogged in articulating the pro-choice position among the justices. So she spoke of threats to women's health and place in society if Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey, the big abortion precedents, were overturned. She argued in defense of court precedent. She spoke of threats of other kinds. But she also, in relation to the article I wrote, accused Mississippi of a religious basis for their abortion law. And that assertion assumed that claims so founded are by definition illegitimate.
You say that that idea that one, in a nutshell, cannot assert a political claim based on religious faith, you say that idea is deeply debatable. What do you mean by that?
Yes, I did say debatable since I didn't have to write another 1,000 words on the rest of it. But I think to explain here, all political claims have some appeal to authority, and there's many of them. There's tradition, there's popular opinion, there's science, there's reason. And I think that what Sotomayor was claiming was that religious claims shouldn't be on the list of permittable appeals to make public policy. And I think that's wrong for a number of reasons. We do have a tradition of such appeals in this country, longstanding, going back to the American founding and before. And I think that it can be a legitimate claim to truth as much as those others are legitimate claims to truth. And given its source or its claimed source, I don't know how we could ignore divine claims, even if we, in the end, reject that they're not ultimately truthful or not ultimately from where they say they come. And then I'd finally say, especially in a popular government, we should let religious claims battle out with others in getting at justice, truth, and the goods that a political community pursues. I think it was illegitimate to exclude those among the many claims that can be made to how we get to what's good, just, and what we should be pursuing as a common good.
The justice also claimed that really, in essence, religion alone provides a source for addressing life's beginnings. How is that false?
Yes. So I think on one hand, the previous question, I was saying that religion can be a claim, but I think it's false, as you were saying, for Justice Sotomayor to say that it was the only claim for addressing how we know when life begins. And I think it's false, going back to the religious claim, in that it isn't merely from the Bible or other sacred texts that something is spoken of regarding when life begins. We have so many other sources. We have biology is looking at when life begins. Psychology is trying to understand what it means to be human. Philosophy asks what's human and what it means to be a human. Even politics itself, where Aristotle, someone that we study a lot here at Hillsdale, is talking about what human beings are as rational and moral creatures. And I think even scripture itself, even religious claims itself, say that it's not merely God speaking from Mount Sinai that tells us where questions like this can be answered. If you look at Psalm 19 in the Christian and Jewish tradition, it says in the first half that the heavens declare the glory of God, and then it switches partway through to talking about what the law of God shows us. So even within religious claims themselves, they recognize that our natural knowledge, our natural reason that God has given us, are sources for how we can answer these moral and just factual questions about when life starts.
Is it necessary at all to appeal to, while it's certainly permissible, is it necessary at this day and age to appeal to any religious authority when talking about the beginning of life in the womb?
I think that it's certainly helpful, but I think if you're merely trying to determine when life begins, you don't actually need religious appeals. You can ask it on those other grounds. I do think that religious appeals can be very helpful in giving meaning to that determination. Once you factually determine what a life is and when it begins, how do we understand the rights that come with that, the dignity that comes with that, and the societal obligations? I think religious claims are much more important once we get to that part. But still, I think for determining when life begins, I think that there's plenty of other sources that we can go to make that determination.
Speaking of meaning, the Declaration of Independence grounds its political claims in, quote, the laws of nature and of nature's God. What did they mean?
I'll say one precursor to that, which is to remember not to hang everything on Thomas Jefferson's authorship, since we do know that he had some fairly unorthodox religious beliefs. It was a document that went to the Committee of the whole Second Continental Congress, which included a number of very orthodox Christians. And I think the place to focus in on is that the Declaration speaks of God as a creator, that human beings are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that they are created equal. And I think what the Declaration asks us to consider is what goes into the act of creation, of making someone or something. And ultimately, it includes an active definition. God has created and thus defined what he has created. And he has done so, I think, according to his character as rational and moral beings, and as a rational and moral being himself. And I think what this is saying is that nature's God is the creator, and the laws of nature is the rational and moral ordering of that creation. And that from that, we can look at, with our reason, at nature, at what it means to be human, and we can understand much about what justice is, about what human beings are, and therefore, related to a previous question we discussed, what our obligations are to those people. That's why later the Declaration will say, to secure these rights, governments that are instituted among men. Well, those are the rights that the laws of nature and nature's God show us are attached to what it means to be human. I think that's what it means to say that those rights are inalienable. People, I'll have students in class say, well, of course they're not inalienable. You can murder someone. You can steal from them. You can do all sorts of things. But I think what this means is these claims that the Declaration makes are so intrinsic to how it understands humanity that to violate them means to treat someone as not human and to therefore not have a moral right to do so. So I think that's where the laws of nature and nature's God really become the springboard for the definition of justice that the Declaration has and that therefore we have a pretty deep commitment to as Americans.
You write, Sotomayor's question was both false in its accusation and dubious in its implications. Her line of argument also sought to perpetuate a problem that will plague the court until the justices change their approach. What are you talking about there?
I think that it was false in its accusation for reasons we already said, which is that Mississippi wasn't making only or even primarily a religious argument in relation to the abortion law. So it was false to accuse them of doing so, even if I think that could be a legitimate source for the argument. I think it's dubious in that it really implied that the public square should treat religious arguments like leprosy as something illegitimate and dangerous. And I think until the court gets a more coherent and I think a more open approach to these kinds of claims, that it's going to not only continue to, I think, get certain outcomes wrong, but it will also continue to be very confused. This kind of dips into First Amendment free exercise and Establishment Clause claims, which aren't really at stake here, I was arguing, but I think the court's jurisprudence there has become very confused because of claims similar to what Justice Sotomayor implied about the Mississippi law here.
One of the biggest criticisms of both Roe and Casey is they punted when it came to the central question, the question that had become central now in the Dobbs case, and that is when life begins. What are your thoughts?
I agree. And it's interesting that they were very willing to define liberty, the other right that they said was at stake, or privacy, both related to the expecting mother, and not life. And the reason I think you can't punt on that is because you have to assume consciously or unconsciously that question of when life begins in order to determine when and if abortion is morally just. If at any point a fetus is not a human being, then the liberty of the only human being then involved, the woman, seems clearly paramount, I'd say even clearly decisive. But if we are talking about unborn human beings, then we have to ask about the rights to liberty versus the rights to life. And I would say the primacy of life comes in, that the right to life is the first right in the sense of the prerequisite for the exercise of all others, and that there's a long tradition and understanding that the rights you have never extend to the point of violating the rights of others. So therefore, the right to liberty could never extend to the murder of human beings, the taking unjustly of human beings' life. And so you can't define the woman's liberty until you define whether the right to life and when the right to life is involved itself.
Isn't that precisely what Roe did and Casey later upheld in some form, that you can, and in fact, I think the Roe court in some form argued you must pit the liberty against the life?
Well, Roe very explicitly said, we're going to punt on when life begins, that it's a philosophically debated, a religiously debated point, a scientifically debated point. So they said, to whatever degree potential life may be involved, we're going to tip the scale much more toward the right that we understand and recognize, which is the right to privacy, which Casey later said was the right to liberty. They do say that the state has a legitimate interest in the potential life of the unborn. But I think the fact that it doesn't really come into play until later in pregnancy, the fact that the liberty right of the woman is the basis for the right to an abortion, and the fact that they don't call it a right, they call it an interest of the state, really says that they're not willing to go nearly as far in articulating what life is and when it begins, or according what would be necessary to that determination, than they are to the rights of the woman. They're much more determinative about liberty, and I think that says a lot about which they actually believe they understand and which they actually believe exists.
Dr. Adam Carrington is Associate Professor of Politics at Hillsdale College. We're talking about U.S. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor on abortion and religion. When we come back, the Casey decision begins with these words: liberty finds no refuge in a jurisprudence of doubt. What does that mean for the decision of when life begins? If you're looking for a Christmas gift for a child, grandchild, or godchild ages 3 through 8, give them the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December, Symbols of Salvation, The Story of Jesus' Birth. It's a new, interactive, and illustrated book showcasing the true story of Christmas in rhyme. Symbols of Salvation is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Symbols of Salvation, The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you know a child with autism, dyslexia, ADHD, or Down syndrome? Do you have a student who needs an effective yet more gently paced education? We invite you to visit simplyclassical.com for a complete academic curriculum rooted in the truth of God's Word, the mercy of forgiveness, and the peace of Christ. From Memoria Press, simplyclassical.com, promo code LPR22.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
They designated Mary as Theotokos, the Mother of God. They said to deny this is tantamount to denying the incarnation of the Son.
People now believe that the way you solve problems is to make people do things. And it's a loss of confidence that this is an area where you could contend for truth and persuade them with good arguments so they could come around to your way of saying things. And instead, no, this is just a contest of power.
The only reason anybody would stop what you're doing, get down on your hands and knees while you're wearing vestments, and clean up a spill of the chalice is because you believed that this was the blood of Christ.
It's very difficult to maintain the independence of Scripture from your contemporary culture. And in treating congregants like they're Americans first, instead of Christians first, you'll tend to give American answers to this.
Live Friday afternoon, December the 17th, we'll play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. The winner gets the LPR bundle package and a nativity set from the Outdoor Nativity Store. You'll find this week's contestants in Wednesday's podcast feed and on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. You can vote in advance by going to our Facebook page, facebook.com/issuesetc. You can vote on our comment line, 618-223-8382, or send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. You can also vote live Friday afternoon from 4:30 to 5 Central by calling our toll-free studio line, 1-877-623-MYIE. Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week tomorrow. We're talking with Dr. Adam Carrington about the U.S. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor on abortion and religion. You point out, Dr. Carrington, that the Casey decision began with these words, quote, liberty finds no refuge in a jurisprudence of doubt, end quote. What does that mean for the question of when life begins?
And I think this statement is true in the abstract. it is true that liberty to truly exercise it, to truly feel secure in it, you need to know that the laws in relation to liberty are going to be consistently applied, consistently administered to you and all other persons similarly situated. In fact, the political philosopher Montesquieu said, liberty isn't merely being secure, it's the feeling of security. So you can act free, not just be free. And while that's true, if that is the case, wouldn't that be the case with all other rights? Isn't it also true that the right to life finds no liberty or no refuge in a jurisprudence of doubt? And doesn't that also mean we need to define what it means for the unborn? Otherwise, the very same principle that Casey tried to uphold in relation to the woman is being undermined or ignored in relation to another right, life, and another being involved, the unborn. So I think they contradict themselves implicitly, even as they were trying to be consistent.
Why should the court, as you say, at least pass off the entire decision on abortion to the states?
I think the fact that the court has been unwilling to really entertain the right to life and has therefore thwarted the political process's willingness to do so is ultimately why they should pass it off. I think there are good arguments being made that once you determine what a life is or when a life begins, that there already are constitutional obligations that might attend that. But no one on the court has made that argument, not even the most vociferous opponents of Roe and Casey on the court have yet made that case. Justice Thomas being the remaining one, but Justice Scalia in the past, all of them have argued for putting it back to the states. And I think if that's the case, then at least prudentially, the best that can be done right now is for the court to get out of the way and allow the pro-life movement and allow also the pro-choice movement to make the moral case to the public. And I think there's also an underlying good to that, which is that ultimately we are going to need public opinion behind the right to life. We're going to need the people to agree with justice on this question. And I think giving more tools to the pro-life movement than they now have would be what would happen if Roe and Casey were overturned, and would at least allow for a lot more progress on trying to get toward justice and the good in this case.
Sotomayor also raised the political question, and kind of, I think in an attempt to spook Chief Justice Roberts, said, well, if we overturn Roe, in essence, we're going to call into question the court's legitimacy, a big concern of Chief Justice Roberts. How has 50 years of Roe harmed the court's legitimacy?
Yes, if anyone's interested in reading the brief that Mississippi submitted, this is a major point they make. And I would say don't get too intimidated by those who, if you're not a legal scholar, it's pretty readable. And I think that the point is that the court really tried to resolve a morally and constitutionally contentious issue in Roe and then later reaffirm it in Casey. And that just hasn't been the case. It has not solidified public opinion. It has only helped to inflame it and limit how it can play out in the political process. And I think that while Sotomayor is trying to appeal to Justice Roberts to say that overturning it and leaving it to the states would be detrimental to the court's legitimacy, I don't know of another issue that the court wading in as it has done more damage to the court's legitimacy since, to be honest, Dred Scott and slavery in the 1850s. And so I think that the appeal that would be made, I think, to Roberts on that is the real way to heal the court in regards to abortion is to make them a more neutral arbiter and get them out of the debate and the process. Might there be some short-term pain to that? Yes, but the long-term pain that you would be getting yourself out of has only shown to be getting worse and worse, I think, over the last 50 years.
I have to ask you, there has been talk, although I don't know if there's any serious political attempts in Washington, D.C., of quote-unquote codifying Roe into law. What does that mean?
Well, there would be the potential claim that you could pass a statute that in some way protected abortion. Or I think at the national level, the more likely attempt would be a constitutional amendment defining abortion as a protected right. I don't see that going very far. And the reason I say a constitutional amendment is I still think primarily this is a state issue and needs to be a state issue if it's going to be in the political process. There would be some overlap into the national, but I think that would be the attempt. And I would add, this is a bit off from your question, but I think that one of the battles that will happen if Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey is overturned is also a battle within state courts about state constitutions. A couple years ago, Kansas made a ruling, their court, that was much more protective of abortion rights than even the U.S. Supreme Court has been, and they did so based on their reading of the Kansas state constitution. So you might see a mini resurgence of state-based Roe v. Wades, where certain courts may claim that their state constitutions protect a constitutional right to abortion. And we'll see how that legal part plays out in addition to the legislative, if in June this case goes Mississippi's way.
Finally, with about 30 seconds here, Dr. Carrington, how are laws like the Mississippi abortion law, as you say, not covert attempts to establish religion, but rather overt attempts to protect human life?
I think, again, it's the idea that whatever one's religious beliefs, we can know through our reason and our intrinsic sense of morality when life begins and what our obligations are to that life, even though I think religion helps. And I think that the way to see this Mississippi abortion law is that they're not really thinking in purely religious terms. They're really thinking about, what does it mean to have the right to life, and what is our obligation as a society and as law to fulfill that right and adhere to that obligation?
Dr. Adam Carrington is Associate Professor of Politics at Hillsdale College, author of a column for National Review Online titled Justice Sotomayor is Wrong About Abortion and Religion. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives page. Dr. Carrington, thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We will conclude our series on the Book of Proverbs with Pastor Jonathan Fisk of the Sons of Solomon next. We're going to talk about that Proverbs 31 woman there in Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10. Stay tuned.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Are you looking for Christ-focused ornaments and gifts this Advent? Ad Crucem has a wide selection of Christmons, Christmas ornaments, greeting cards, artwork, housewares, jewelry, and churchwares to boldly and beautifully proclaim the good news of Christ given for us. Put what you believe, teach, and confess on display this year. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
If you plan on doing some online Christmas shopping with Amazon, you can also help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. Just go to smile.amazon.com, sign into your Amazon account, enter Lutheran Public Radio into the charitable organization search field, and click Select. A percentage of your purchase will be donated to Issues Etc. Smile.amazon.com and choose Lutheran Public Radio. Thanks for your support.